Right now, in the corporate network you're logged into, human beings are likely a minority.
Yeah, which is a wild thing to think about.
It really is. I mean, if you look at the raw data flowing through most enterprise environments today, the employees, like the actual people sitting at desks, they are vastly outnumbered by bots, algorithms, and, autonomous AI agents.
Absolutely.
And the scary part is that every single one of those non-human entities holds a key to your company's most sensitive data.
Right.
So how do you govern an invisible, autonomous workforce that scales up and down by the thousands every single hour?
Well, you can't do it the old way. It completely breaks the legacy model of security. Because for the longest time, identity governance was basically about managing human behavior.
Right, like a manager reviews an employee's access, checks a box, and moves on.
Exactly. But you just cannot apply human management frameworks to machine speed infrastructure. I mean, the math simply does not work.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because
Yeah.
today we are diving into a comprehensive 2026 upgrade guide for SailPoint's latest identity security platforms.
Yeah, and it's a massive shift.
It is. And the core tension across all our source materials today is that identity is no longer just like a component of security, it is the primary attack surface.
Yes.
And the tools organizations relied on even 2 years ago, well, they are buckling under the weight of this new machine majority reality.
What's fascinating here is that we are witnessing a forced evolution in enterprise architecture. I mean, we're moving entirely away from static periodic access reviews to continuous real-time adaptive identity frameworks.
Right.
But to understand how these cutting-edge features actually operate in the wild, we really first need to define what the latest version of SailPoint even means right now in August 2026.
Yeah, because it's definitely not just a single download link anymore.
No, not at all.
So the sources outline two very distinct paths, and it really depends on the regulatory reality of your specific company. Path one is Identity Security Cloud, or ISC, and this is the SaaS cloud native platform. The defining characteristic here is that it has absolutely no version numbers. Like it updates continuously in the background. But then path two is Identity IQ 8.5, which is the latest on-premises or hybrid release that hit general availability back in mid-2025.
And that dual path strategy, it's heavily invested in for a very specific reason. Because not every enterprise can legally go fully cloud native.
Oh, sure, like strict compliance stuff.
Exactly. Say you operate a bank in a country with strict data residency laws, or you run a defense contracting firm with incredibly niche, bespoke internal systems. You cannot have your identity governance floating around in a multi-tenant cloud environment.
It's essentially the difference between relying on a modern streaming service versus maintaining a high-end physical media server in your basement.
That's a great way to look at it.
Right, so with the Identity Security Cloud, you open the dashboard and new features, AI integrations, UI tweaks, they're just there. The vendor handles all the plumbing.
Yeah.
But with Identity IQ 8.5, you have that server in the basement. You get total granular control over the wiring and the code, but your own internal IT team absorbs the massive operational weight of applying the patches and running all the maintenance.
Exactly. And regardless of whether you're streaming from the cloud or running that heavy physical server, the underlying brain connecting both ecosystems is now identical.
Okay, SailPoint Atlas.
Yes, SailPoint Atlas is the unified architecture for both platforms. But the real innovation inside Atlas isn't just data storage, it's the mechanism it uses to actually understand that data, which they call the identity graph.
Okay, let's look at the mechanics of that because the identity graph comes up constantly in all the upgrade documentation.
It's everywhere.
And it's fundamentally different from the old relational databases companies used to rely on, where you just had like rows and columns of employee names and their job titles.
Right, because a relational database is static. It just tells you what is true
Yeah.
at the exact moment you run a query. But a graph database, which is what the identity graph is built on, is designed to map relationships and behaviors in real time.
So it's constantly shifting.
Exactly. It correlates nodes, like an identity, a specific entitlement, and a behavioral risk signal. And it creates this queryable living map of your entire network.
Just to make sure we're defining our terms clearly for you, the listener, when we say entitlement in this context, we aren't just talking about, giving someone a login to Salesforce.
No. An entitlement is hyper-specific. It is the exact permission to read, write, or execute a specific function within a specific system.
Oh, wow.
So it's not just access to the financial system. It is read-only access to the Q3 European payroll database.
That is granular.
Very. And the identity graph maps that specific entitlement to the identity holding it. But more importantly, it maps the context.
What do you mean by context?
Well, it doesn't just know that an identity has access. It knows what that identity usually does with the access and whether its behavior, like 5 seconds ago, represents an anomaly.
Right. And crucially, Atlas uses this graph to unify workforce identities, non-employee identities like temporary contractors, and most importantly, machine identities.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Which really brings us to the core crisis driving this entire 2026 upgrade cycle. I mean, the architecture of the platform is just the vehicle, but the passengers have fundamentally changed.
They absolutely have. The shift toward the adaptive identity vision is entirely driven by the explosion of non-human accounts.
Right.
The source materials highlight a staggering reality. Service accounts, bots, and AI agents are growing exponentially faster than human accounts.
Okay, wait. So enterprise security isn't just about managing employee passwords and key cards anymore. Like, we're actively managing the identities of algorithms and bots.
Yes, and that is a huge problem for legacy systems.
Because standard access reviews are mathematically impossible now?
Exactly.
Historically, a department head might sit down at the end of the quarter, review the access rights of 50 employees. It's a tedious afternoon, sure, but it's doable.
Right. Grab a coffee and click through a spreadsheet.
Yeah. But if an enterprise spins up 10,000 autonomous AI agents on a Tuesday to analyze code, query databases, move files across servers, how does SailPoint actually expect a human team to comply with auditor demands? I mean, a human being cannot manually validate 10,000 bot permissions.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that mathematical impossibility is exactly why auditors no longer accept periodic snapshots.
Oh, okay.
They know a screenshot from March showing compliant access means absolutely nothing if a breach happens in April. Auditors now expect cryptographic evidence of continuous governance. The system literally has to govern itself in real time.
Which introduces the concept of privilege discovery and classification. So instead of waiting for an audit, the system is actively hunting for risk.
Exactly. Privilege discovery actively spans the network for orphan service accounts or, you know, shadow IT bots that were spun up by a developer for a temporary weekend project and then just never decommissioned.
Oh, that happens all the time.
All the time. And so it finds these hidden, highly privileged accounts, classifies the level of risk they pose, and forces them into the governance framework before a bad actor can hijack them.
And the sources detail how this pairs with data access security, or DAS integration, which seems to solve a massive blind spot. Because knowing a bot has access to a specific server is only half the battle. You need to know what is actually on that server.
Precisely. Mechanistically, data access security maps unstructured data.
Like what?
Say, a rogue PDF full of client social security numbers sitting in a random forgotten SharePoint folder.
Oh, yikes.
Right. And it ties that directly back into the identity graph. So when an identity team looks at the graph, they don't just see a bot with a generic connection to SharePoint. They see a glowing red line connecting a newly created unmonitored AI agent directly to highly regulated, personally identifiable information.
So they see the toxic combination of access instantly.
Instantly. Mm. No guessing involved.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because finding the risk is great, but someone or something still has to enforce the rules and actually pull the plug on that access.
Yeah.
And if the volume is too high for humans, the system has to automate the enforcement. And that is why SailPoint is deploying AI to manage AI.
It is the only architectural solution to the scale of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, in these 2026 versions, artificial intelligence is no longer a bolt-on module or just a marketing buzzword. It is deeply embedded into the fabric of the platform to execute tasks like role mining.
Oh, let's break down role mining, because that used to be one of the most painful manual processes in IT.
Oh, a total nightmare.
Right. It used to involve interviewing managers, looking at sprawling spreadsheets, and trying to guess what permissions a new marketing hire might need based on what the last marketing hire had.
It was organized guesswork, honestly. Mm-hmm. But AI-driven role mining completely changes the mechanism. The AI continuously analyzes the actual daily API calls, file accesses, and behavioral patterns of everyone in the marketing department. Mm-hmm. And it dynamically builds a custom access template based on actual usage data, not human assumptions. So it strips away excess permissions that people have accumulated over the years but never actually use, enforcing the principle of least privilege automatically.
And the execution arm for this AI is a suite of agents called SailPoint Harbor Pilot.
Yes.
The documentation really emphasizes that Harbor Pilot is designed to police the platform and aggressively automate the daily operations of the identity team.
And the API connectivity for Harbor Pilot is vast. I mean, the latest update includes specific AI agent connectors for Microsoft 365, Copilot, Databricks, Amazon Bedrock, Google Vertex AI, Salesforce Agentforce, Snowflake Cortex AI, and several others.
But let's look at how that actually works in practice, because the idea of AI agents policing other AI agents on a platform like Amazon Bedrock sounds chaotic.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like adding more cooks to a kitchen that is already on fire.
So how does a Harbor Pilot agent talking to an Amazon Bedrock agent actually reduce the manual review fatigue for a human security analyst? Well, it acts as an aggressive intelligent filter.
Okay.
Let's say an AI agent operating within your Snowflake environment requests elevated access to run a massive data query. Historically, that request generates a ticket, a human analyst gets pinged, they try to understand the context, and they either approve or deny it.
Right.
Now, if you have thousands of those requests a day, the human analyst suffers from alert fatigue and just starts rubber stamping everything to clear the queue.
The classic boy who cried wolf scenario. They just approve it to get it off their desk.
Precisely. But with Harbor Pilot, the AI intercepts that request from Snowflake. It cross-references the request against the identity graph, analyzes the baseline behavior for that specific machine identity, checks if the requested data violates any compliance policies, and makes an autonomous decision.
Wow.
It handles the massive volume of routine, low-risk, or clearly compliant requests instantly. The human team never even sees them.
So the human analysts are only pulled into the loop when Harbor Pilot flags a request as a high-risk anomaly that falls outside established parameters.
Yes. They manage the exceptions, rather than drowning in the rule.
That fundamentally changes the job description of an identity professional. Like, they elevate from being a manual ticket puncher to a high-level security strategist setting the parameters for the AI.
Absolutely.
And the sources show this automation extending heavily into application onboarding, too. Getting a new SaaS app integrated into a company's governance model used to take identity teams weeks of manual configuration.
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah, they had to beg application owners for connection details and manually map all the correlation rules.
Right, but now the AI scans network traffic and authentication logs to actively spot non-onboarded applications.
Okay, so it just finds them.
Yep. It might detect that, say, 50 employees are regularly authenticating to a new unauthorized project management tool.
Mm.
Harbor Pilot alerts the identity team, but more importantly, it analyzes the data structure of that new app and automatically recommends the exact account correlation mappings needed to pull it into the governance framework.
It does the week of setup work in seconds.
Exactly.
Now, all of these features, continuous risk detection, AI-driven role mining, automated onboarding, they sound like a silver bullet on paper. But dragging a legacy enterprise environment into this modern architecture is notoriously brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Implementing these upgrades is really where things tend to break down spectacularly.
The reality of executing the upgrade, particularly for those on the on-premises identity IQ path, requires extreme caution. The documentation outlines severe operational risks if the migration isn't handled correctly.
But doing nothing is just as dangerous. The costs of delaying the upgrade are steep. If an organization decides to stay on an older branch, like Identity IQ 8.4, they stop receiving e-fixes.
Right.
And we should clarify what e-fixes are, because they aren't just minor bug updates.
No, an e-fix is an emergency security patch designed to close a newly discovered critical vulnerability.
Okay.
If you're running an outdated version that has reached its end of support life, the vendor is no longer writing e-fixes for your specific software build. So if a zero-day vulnerability hits the wild, your front door is wide open, and you are entirely on your own to figure out a mitigation strategy.
That's terrifying.
It is. Delaying the upgrade is a massive security risk.
But rushing, it introduces a totally different kind of chaos. The most common nightmare scenario highlighted in the sources for Identity IQ environments is custom workflow breakage.
Yes. Going back to our analogy of the physical server in the basement, if a company has spent 5 years writing highly customized Java code to force Identity IQ to talk to a bespoke mainframe system, applying a major 8.5 architectural update can instantly break those custom rules.
Right, because the APIs change.
The APIs change, the older connectors become incompatible, and suddenly your automated provisioning just grinds to a halt.
And one specific phrase in the upgrade documentation caught my eye as a massive red flag. It said, data volume performance surprises.
Oh, that is the silent killer of upgrade projects. Really?
Yes. It occurs when a small, isolated test environment behaves fundamentally differently than the massive production environment.
So it's like practicing a fire drill with 20 people in a single classroom and assuming the exact same evacuation plan will work flawlessly for a packed stadium of 80,000 people.
That is exactly what happens.
The plumbing simply bottlenecks.
Exactly. An IT team will test the 8.5 upgrade in a sandbox environment with, say, 1,000 human identities. The system processes the rules instantly, but when they push that same upgrade to production, where the system suddenly has to process 200,000 human identities and 1 million autonomous machine identities,
oh boy,
the sheer volume of data crashes the system. The underlying infrastructure just wasn't scaled to handle the computational load of the new AI features analyzing that massive data set.
So how do enterprise teams actually avoid crashing their own infrastructure? The sources lay out a very strict set of best practices.
They do. Number one, you have to read the full technical release notes, not just the marketing summary, so you actually understand the API deprecations. Number two, build and test a rollback plan before you ever touch the production environment.
Boy, that's cool.
Number three, test at full production scale to avoid those data volume bottlenecks we just talked about. And finally, schedule the deployment far outside of peak business or audit periods.
Which raises an important question regarding enterprise culture. Mm. Are management teams actually giving their IT departments enough time to execute these best practices?
Right.
The unfortunate reality highlighted in the broader industry data is that teams often drastically compress the staging validation phase.
Because they feel the executive pressure to just get the new AI features deployed quickly.
Yes, and that pressure leads them to cut testing time in half. But you cannot rush the validation of business-critical certification and provisioning workflows.
Yeah.
If a provisioning workflow breaks during a major hiring push because custom code wasn't tested against a large data set, nobody gets network access. The company functionally stops working. The AI features are powerful, but if the foundational plumbing shatters under the weight of the data, Harbor Pilot cannot save you.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, who is likely navigating this exact transition in your own career right now? The source material highlights a very specific practical takeaway. Professionals with up-to-date, hands-on SailPoint skills are experiencing significant salary growth right now.
It is a pure supply and demand imbalance in the labor market.
Keeping pace with this software isn't just about keeping your company compliant. It is a major career catalyst. Enterprises are absolutely desperate for architects who actually understand the mechanics of governing machine identities and who know how to navigate these complex high-risk migrations without crashing the production environment.
And those skills are only going to become more critical as we look at where this ecosystem is heading next.
Right, let's pivot to the future roadmap. We are sitting in August 2026, and according to SailPoint's documentation, their H2 2026 updates are rolling out right now.
Yeah, they are.
The big ticket items focus heavily on scaling the foundation, specifically a next generation access certification engine and a completely rebuilt separation of duties framework.
Both of those rebuilds are explicitly designed to handle the millions of machine identities we've been discussing. The separation of duties, or SOD framework, is particularly critical.
How so?
Well, mechanistically, SOD ensures that conflicting permissions are never held by the same entity to prevent fraud. For example, the person who writes a check cannot be the same person who approves the check.
But now we have to apply that logic to autonomous agents.
Exactly. The rebuild framework ensures that the AI agent requesting access to a sensitive financial database is computationally separated from the AI agent that evaluates and approves that request. It is the classic concept of checks and balances, but operating at machine speed across millions of transactions a second.
That is wild. To bring all of this together for our deep dive today, upgrading to the latest version of SailPoint in 2026. Whether you're maintaining the continuous flow of the identity security cloud or carefully migrating to
Identity IQ 8.5, it is not a routine patch.
Not at all.
It is a fundamental structural shift toward an AI-powered continuous governance model. You are leaving behind the era of static audits and human-centric access and entering an ecosystem where human, machine, and AI identities must all be governed in real time.
The perimeter is gone, and the definition of a user has permanently changed. Relying on governance models designed for 2024 means you are already critically exposed in 2026.
Before we wrap up, we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that builds on the reality of this new architecture.
Yep.
As our enterprise environments fully embrace this model, where SailPoint's AI agents like Harbor Pilot are continuously policing, restricting, and governing other AI agents operate on platforms like Microsoft 365 or Snowflake, what happens when two autonomous systems inevitably disagree?
Well, it is the next great dilemma in security architecture.
Right. If a Snowflake AI worker determines it absolutely needs access to a dataset to complete a critical financial analysis, but the Harbor Pilot AI governor analyzes the identity graph and restricts that access due to an invisible risk parameter, who makes the final call on the appeal?
That's the million-dollar question.
Does the system escalate the conflict back to a human auditor, forcing a person right back into the very loop we just spent millions of dollars trying to automate them out of? Or do we have to build a third, even more complex AI mediator to settle the dispute? The concept of identity has evolved, but figuring out who or what holds the ultimate authority is only getting more complicated.
It is a fascinating technical and operational frontier.
It truly is. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the architecture, keep exploring the materials, and we will catch you next time.